stop trying to do it all. Like, you don't have to do everything to be a great mum, and you don't have to do everything to be a great leader. We only get to be a mum for such a short time in our life, and you don't get to know that until your kids have already grown up. The question is, can you really run a million-dollar salon, lead your team, and pack the school lunches without losing your mind? Well, today's episode, I'm sharing some behind-the-scenes hacks that I used to run my business, I used to run my salon when my kids were small, and to keep my household running like a boss. So if you've ever joined a Zoom call with a baby on your hip and maybe a bit of vomit on your shoulder, maybe you did the payroll in your pajamas, well, you're not alone. This episode is for you. And in this episode, I'm sharing 9 of my best hacks for balancing business growth and motherhood without the burnout, especially because Mother's Day is here down in the Southern Hemisphere. We've got Mother's Day. And I thought it was a good time to celebrate all things mothers. So sorry, dads, you're not excluded. It's just that it's Mother's Day. And so we're going to focus on that. And also, I'm a mother, so I have this perspective. Maybe I'll do something for you dads later. But this is just as useful for you also. All right, I want you to walk away feeling empowered, reorganized, and more importantly, like a true salon CEO of your business, but also to be able to show up for your family and their needs as well. Stick with me here, though, because hack number 6 is the one that took me from barely coping, thinking I was going crazy, to confidently thriving, just quietly thriving in the corner, even when life gets messy. So, do you ever feel like you just need 2 of you to get through the day? I have felt like that many a time, and too many owners are trying to compartmentalize their life, like get everything into the one box. And I think it's a false economy to be chasing that and to put business in one box, family in another, and they end up exhausted just trying to bleed and blend everything together. So what if blending work and life didn't have to be messy, actually? And what if you had a rhythm or a ritual or a mini system, I guess, that helped you both in the salon and your household run smoother so you don't go insane? Because I think, you know, if you can feel calm and collected as a CEO, even when your toddler is throwing a tantrum or your teens are rolling their eyes and asking, like, why is there no oat milk again? Then if you don't have a system for that, you're going to stay stuck in survival mode and feeling guilty. Do you know when you drop the balls and feeling like actually you're failing as a mother? And then when you get to work and the balls are dropped there and you feel like you're failing as a business CEO, and we don't want that. So I want to share 9 hacks that I use every day, every week, but also every month. And I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. Let's get into them. Do you know what the first one is? Stop trying to do it all. Like, you don't have to do everything to be a great mum, and you don't have to do everything to be a great leader. Choose what matters most and let the rest go. It's going to be okay. Sometimes I remember to myself, when I wake up in the morning, it'll just be a new day and life will go on. The world won't explode. You got this. So you don't need to run the payroll at 11 at night. You don't need to answer client DMs or cook the dinner and fold the washing before 7 p.m. Like, you don't need to do it all. Some things can wait, or most importantly, it can be done by somebody else. So what I'd like you to do is list out 3 things that are currently on your plate, on your mind, taking over mental space. And I want you to think about, what is it out of that list that actually somebody else can do? You don't need to do it, and maybe you've been doing it just because you've always done it. And the lens that I put it through is like, is this a teachable thing? Number one. Number 2, is it something on repeat? Because if it's teachable and it has to happen multiple times, then I need to delegate that to somebody else. And if you put it through the lens of a $25 an hour job versus a $100 an hour job, well, you need to be doing the $100 hour jobs and you need to delegate the 25 hour jobs. Like, if you could actually teach someone, and it's worth teaching them if it's a repeatable job, because you can teach them one, they can once, they can repeat it again and again. If it was a one-off job, there's no point teaching them to get it done. So if it's a $25 an hour job and it's repeatable, teach them, take the time to teach somebody else and delegate and give it to them. Keep the high ticket tasks for yourself. Number two, kind of leads on for this, is automate, delegate or delete. So when you're trying to not do it all, the things that you know that you can automate, delegate and delete, let's call them the $25 an hour jobs. Now, you might be somewhere else in the world and going, Larissa, $25 an hour, that's a lot. Or you might go, that's $25 an hour, that's nothing. You just put your number there. Let's just call it $1, $2, $3, $4. You keep the $4 jobs and you delegate the $1 jobs. So those $1 jobs, you want to automate, delegate, or delete. So what do I mean by that? Because not every task is equal. Remove the clutter from your calendar and your brain. So let's talk about automate. To automate really is you can use software or a human or even AI. So there will be a software for that. Is there a software that can do that, that you can automate that? Is there a human on your team or even in your family or maybe a cleaner that you can automate and put it on repeat? Like she comes Monday at 10 o'clock every single week to clean the house. That is automating a task. Or maybe you use, like in Salon Mastery, we use Jemima. And Jemima is designed to do everything for a salon that you can possibly do through AI in a smart and strategic way. And so you don't have to think about how to do it. You just get Jemima to do it for you. So of those $25 an hour jobs or the $1 hour jobs, whatever you want to call it, we want to automate some of those tasks. The others we want to delegate. Maybe you delegate a job that you're doing currently to your manager and she can do it every day or every week, maybe morning huddles or maybe cashing up at the end of the day. Or you delegate to an employee. I remember the day that I delegated for the first time stock control, and I delegated actually to an apprentice. And I remember apologizing to her that I was giving her such a nasty task because I thought it was nasty. It was a job that I hated doing. It sucked a lot of my energy. I wasn't very good at it because I didn't really want to be there. And so as I was teaching her how to do it, I apologized for giving her such a job. And she said to me, but Larissa, I'm so excited to do this. I have always wanted to do this. It makes me feel really important. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay, just because I don't like it doesn't mean that other people don't. She loved to do it. She was really detail orientated, which I am not. And from then on, we were happy. So delegate the shitty jobs that suck the energy from you. And sometimes you can just delete. Like, what would happen if you didn't do that job? Run it through the delete filter. Can you delete this? Would it be okay? Would anybody notice? I remember I had my manager doing a monthly report to me. And she said to me, do you know this task number six, Larissa? What is it for? Like, why do you do that? And is it important? Do you look at it? And when I looked at the task, I was like, do you know what? I look at it, but I do nothing with that information. That task is now obsolete. We had evolved and created a new system of collecting information, and we just hadn't deleted that particular task. And I was like, oh my God, we can actually delete that, like stop doing that. And I think we forget often that we get so busy being busy or doing the do that we don't realize that sometimes we can just delete the shit that we do. All right, hack number three is plan your week like a CEO. And planning ahead, like it actually reduces some chaos and decision fatigue. So I often do this on a Sunday night, but I have a task on a Monday morning, 30 minutes between 9 and 9:30, where I plan the week. If I'm really smart, before I wrap up for the weekend, I'll plan the week coming. But sometimes it's nice to have a bit of white space over the weekend to think about, okay, what are my priorities? And so Monday morning is my catch-all. And if I haven't done it prior, I'll do it Monday morning. And I want to plan. Like, when am I going to work out? Am I going to work out? Are there family logistics that I need to think about? And I don't want to spend my week reacting to the fires. So schedule the time. Like anything in the hair and beauty world, if it's not in our calendar, it doesn't happen. So I use color coding, maybe a whiteboard or a checklist to plan out the different things on the different day and make sure we batch the things together. Like, let's do all of the team meetings on the same day. I do all of my team meetings on a Thursday and update everybody on what's happening, who's going where, put a memo out if you need to. My husband used to, in the early days, used to get frustrated with me with putting memos out or inviting him to calendar events because he just wasn't used to it. He didn't have a job where he needed to do that himself. He now is like, have you put it in the calendar? And so he's used to it. He'd kill me if I said, I've trained him to use the calendar, but we're all using the calendar and everybody knows what's happening. And as long as I'm ahead of it, it's at the beginning of the week to make sure it makes sense. I want to minimize fires. I don't like putting out fires during the week. Hey, it's me again. I just wanted to interrupt and jump in here quickly to say thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Just one question though. If you are listening to this episode and thinking, oh my God, this is me, but I'm just not sure what to do. Well, don't worry, I've got some strategies for you. The Salon Mastery Program will help you develop and implement 100K team, 100K mindset, strategies and steps designed to help you lead your team to enjoy 100K careers and install the 100K mindset and motivation so you can help build that inside of your team. The systems, the processes to master the 100K day so you can build the $1 million salon. So I want to invite you to join me for a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll discuss your business, your role in the business. Let's see if I'm the right person to help you grow your business and your team. Together, we can reach the $1 million mark. All you need to do is click the apply now button in the show notes of this very episode. You're welcome to book a time, a strategy call. We'll have a chat. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get back to the episode. Hack number four is define your working hours at home. So just like you have salon open hours, you need home working hours, like hours that you are at home and hours that you're at business time. Be really clear about what they are. And for example, we use Slack to communicate with our team. And I will go off Slack as soon as I've finished work, which might be anywhere between, well, my son doesn't get to my office now until 4 o'clock. So between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock, or once I've served dinner, I'm off. I don't want to be on. I'm not available. And do you know what? Nobody will die for 2 hours if I don't get back to them. If I don't respond to you on social media, or I don't text you back, or I don't check the email, or I don't check Slack, no one will die. And if I think they'll die, I'll let them know and just say, hey, I'll get back to you in 2 hours. And so having some really clear boundaries, and mine typically is 9 o'clock. I have my phone that goes into sleep mode at 9 o'clock, and I have to put my PIN number in after 9 o'clock if I want to look at any apps. And it just reminds me, do I really need to look right now? And sometimes I choose to, but it's just a good hack to go when you're off, and you're on, and people are quite happy to accommodate waiting till tomorrow even. I know, shocking. So set some clear boundaries of stop and start time when you're in mum mode, and be super clear that you communicate that with your team and with your family. But also when I'm in work mode and my kids want to interrupt me, I'll say, dude, I'll be tucking you in at 9 o'clock. I'm just going to finish up this email and then I'll be with you. And they're really okay with that. Hack number six is practice presence over perfection. So this has taken a little bit of time for me to be able to learn to switch off, but really it's about connection mattering more than controlling outcomes. So for example, my son doesn't really care if the sandwiches are cut in triangles or stars, well, apart from the fact he's well past that now, but he does want me to be present at bedtime. And I'll lie on his bed and I'm not checking my phone. I leave my phone intentionally upstairs because sometimes he says to me, oh, well, can we just Google that, mum? And I'm like, no, sorry, I've left my phone upstairs. And we have to have a conversation. And if I was halfway through an email, or I've got messages waiting, or I really wanted to finish the system and process that I was writing in my work mode, then I have to wait. No multitasking. Like, choose a moment to put the phone down and be fully present. And I reckon 15 minutes a day per child of uninterrupted time, like, that's fair and reasonable, and it's completely doable. All right, hack number six, this was a life changer for me, is have a personal reset ritual. Because when you're depleted, like, everything feels harder. You don't show up for your family. You don't show up for your business. You don't show up for your clients. And so your energy is your greatest asset. And when you've got a lot going on, like, for what I do is I try to ensure that every month we have a whole weekend with nothing on, like nothing planned, no events, no outings. And apart from maybe a little bit of housework, I just want to blob and chill. Or maybe I want to clear underneath the stairs and throw some stuff out. But I want to make sure that at least once a month that I don't arrive at work on Monday like exhausted from my weekend. For me, that's what works for a reset. Some people like to have a short ritual and they sit and have coffee in the morning and eat breakfast and go for a walk or do some journaling. That's not my vibe, but it works for a lot of people that I know. And so whatever your ritual is, do it so you get a really clear reset. I think we run the risk of being mothers and employers and wives and husbands that we don't reset ourselves. And for me, that weekend at home, just blobbing, catching up on maybe Netflix. All right. So I do a little bit of Netflix and doing the washing, sleeping in, like that will be my sleep-in weekend. Whatever your reset ritual is, be aware of resetting your energy and having a rest so you can get up and go again. Hack number 7 is boundaries like a CEO. With your team, your clients, they will only respect the boundaries that you enforce. So first, you need to know what those boundaries are, and 2, you need to be confident to reinforce them. And reinforcement doesn't mean strong or angry, it just means communicate, do you know? So like, I'll no longer answer the phone or check my phone after 9. I already mentioned that one. I leave things unread. Like if I look at my phone and I see that there's a message from my dad, I don't look at it. And it might be urgent. Sometimes I hold the button down so I can look at it just to make sure, you know, he's not in hospital or something. But then I leave it unread so I make sure that I get there tomorrow. I say no to things like volunteering at school. Like I just have to create some boundaries for the things that I want to achieve in my life. And I have the 15-minute dedicated time to my son. We talk in the car. I know that I have the connection time dedicated to him so I can confidently say no to the other things I need to say no to. Like I won't volunteer at school. I don't do reading recovery and all of those things because I'm choosing to be a working mum and I'm okay with that. Like if it fits my bandwidth, great. But I think we need to be really clear about what we can and can't achieve given the things that we want to achieve in all parts of our lives. And it's okay not to be that mum. So I reckon write down one boundary that you need to hold firm, whatever that is. And what are you going to say if somebody challenges it? Like be prepared in advance. We only feel awkward or caught off guard when we haven't pre-planned what our response is going to be. So if you know you're going to be challenged, plan your response. Like what is a good response that you feel comfortable to say? Be a step ahead. All right, hack number 8 is get comfortable with everything being good enough because perfection is a trap and it slows you down, right? Done is better than perfect and done is better than not done, right? So my mum taught me, this was very wise words from my mum, is that like everything is a journey and you don't have to arrive at the destination on day one. Like you have time to stack success on top of each other, break things down into chunks. So recently here at Salon Owners Collective, we rejigged our meeting cadence, how often we meet, who meets in each meeting, and we just rejigged it. It was a bit out of date and we needed to give it an update. And so the all team meeting was the very next week after our rejig. And we're like, shit, for me, I felt like I had to get it perfect. I had to present it perfectly. Like we teach how to do team meetings. I better get it right. I felt the pressure. But then I remembered hack number 7. No. Hack number 5, practice presence over perfection. Like actually just turn up to the people. It doesn't have to be perfect and get comfortable with being good enough. And so I said to everybody, just like, let's do your first shitty draft. Like, let's give it our first go. We've got half of the slides and the framework set up. Just give it a go. It's going to be a bit shitty. It'll be our first draft and we'll improve. We'll learn a bunch of things. We'll see where we were shitty. We will see where we were good. We'll keep the good things and we'll improve the shitty things next time. So all we need to do is to just show up and give it a go. Give yourself permission to show up and just do 20%. You know, get comfortable with being good enough to get things started. And then next time you do 40% and the time after that you do 80%. Because if we wait to get 100% perfect and then you go and do it, you're going to learn some things that you didn't know that you didn't know. And you'll discover that your 100% perfect is not even perfect. And you're going to have to readjust anyway. So you might as well start at, you know, just start is the message. And you can perfect along the way. So get comfortable with good enough to get started and perfect along the way. Right, hack number 9 is celebrate the small wins. And if you know us here at Salon Owners Collective, we talk about wins every day, all of the time. And we put the pressure on, if you've already said you win, you've got to find another one, because momentum builds momentum. Momentum builds through small stacked wins, and acknowledging them is really an important part of being a salon CEO. So constantly look for the wins, or reframe some challenges that you've had. Like, what did you win out of that? What did you learn out of that? That was a win. How are you going to do it differently next time? That's a win. And I think, you know, as creative entrepreneurs, it's really easy for us to be constantly looking at the gap between where we are now and where we want to be. We always want to be in the future. We always want to do better. And the problem with always looking to the future at where we want to be and what we want to be better at is it leaves this massive gap between where we want to be and where we are now. And we can see that as failure sometimes. And when we feel like we're failing, we're not in momentum. And it actually slows us down. We're less inclined to get up out of bed and bounce to work to do the things. So we have to look at how far we've come, like almost look behind us to see what is it that we've won at, so we can get new momentum to push us forward into the new things. So I think overall, you know, we only get to be a mum for such a short time in our life, and you don't get to know that until your kids have already grown up. Like, mine are teenagers now, and I'm like, man, those first 10 years were shitty hard. But if I had perspective in that moment that it was only 10 years out of 80, like, that's a really small percentage. So, you know, we get to be a mum for such a short time, and I think we need to balance that with being present as being the best mum that we can, but also not letting it take us over so much that there's nothing left of you when your kids leave home. Like, my kids are starting to think about leaving home. One left for a short time, he came back. But I'm at that stage now, and I realized, you know, if I had, and I see this in some friends who are just only about the kids, and when you're only about the kids and the kids leave home, what have you got? And we've decided to be business owners and be salon CEOs, so we need to balance the both. And so I hope that those hacks will help you do better at being both and not feel guilty about either. Like, it's okay for you to step into who you are and the business and build something successful. Your kids will be inspired by that. That will inspire them. Show them what it takes to rule the world. You know, you can do both. You just need to be intentional. So I'm really keen to know, like, what mindset shift have you taken away from today? Where have you been too hard on yourself maybe thus far? And which hack are you going to try this week that you can put something into action? So choose one hack, and then you can implement it for 7 days or even for the rest of the month. And let's just see what ripple effect comes as a result of that. And these small CEO shifts and are what led to big business shifts and changes. And the calmer and clearer that you are, the more that your team can rise, the more profits it can grow, and your business can scale. So you are, as the salon CEO, you are the glue that holds it all together, but you're not meant to do it alone. Like, doing it alone is hard. We get in our own heads a little bit. So becoming a million-dollar CEO doesn't mean working more. It means working smarter. And sometimes starts with a coffee, sometimes a calm moment before the chaos, and sometimes it just means taking the whole weekend off and sleeping in. So if you're ready to get a real strategy that gets you out of the daily grind and into your salon CEO seat, well, maybe you want to do it together. You're very welcome to book a strategy call with me. Let's map out a clear plan for you to hit the million-dollar goal that you have. Maybe we can explore if Salon Mastery is the right place for you to get the help you need. Maybe it's the 100K Accelerator, and it's for growth-focused salon CEOs with a team who want to build and become unstoppable, just like you, who are ready to stop winging it and start winning at it. That is a wrap for today. I hope there's been some good takeaways, and I look forward to connecting with you same time, same place on the podcast. Ciao for now.